You can use any of the microphones. Yours is good.
Hi, I'm Jordy, and I sing.
Hi, I'm Eve, and I play sax.
Hi, I'm Utah. I play keys.
I'm Trevor. I play the drums.
I'm Jacob. I play the bass.
And I'm Jackson. I try to play guitar. We get by.
I think you're doing pretty good. No need to worry. Awesome. What was that song that you just played?
It's called Wrought Iron Blues.
Wrought Iron Blues. Original.
Jacob.
Awesome. I love a good blues situation. Why is it called Wrought Iron Blues?
That's just what it's called.
Yeah, Jacob wrote the lyrics.
Talk about the origin, Jacob.
Dude, I don't even remember. I was hanging out in my dorm and I was like, dude, I need to start writing some music or they're going to kick me out of the band.
That's a good motivator, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it came with lyrics first. And then
Well, I knew it was going to be a 12-bar blues progression and then we fixed it up a little bit and then this semester we added the second half, the swing part.
Yeah,
and,
the shuffle moment.
Yeah.
It
should just be the first part. I think that it really improved the song, and everyone pitched in a little bit for the song, made it what it is.
That's awesome. I love to hear it. Would you say your writing process is more of a group effort, or does one person usually bring in something and then the rest of you build on it? Let's unpack that.
Well, Utah's written or helped brought in more of the songs for free into the bone, and then
I feel like it's different on every song.
Yeah.
Every single thing,
for sure.
One person usually comes with an idea, and then you present it to the band, and then, whatever ideas flow, we kind of just see what goes and take it from there. With that one, it started with lyrics, and we wrote music to it. Most of the other ones, I feel like we've started with music and then written, saxophone parts, lyrics to it, and
And I feel like whenever we come up with ideas, it's never really, that one person comes with an idea, but it's never really what you expect. Like, everyone brings something new to the table, and when the song is finally done and everyone has the parts,
it's
something completely
different.
It's a whole different thing by the end of it.
Usually we just end up, having a 2 or 3 hour sesh, and, we'll all just start riffing, and we never write out our parts. It just turns into something, and...
Maybe
it all comes together slowly.
It's just dependent on if you remember what we played.
Exactly.
That's why we like the iPhone.
Yeah. Definitely interesting being in a 6-person band because you have a lot of different people you have to maneuver around, so making sure that we all have parts that kind of mesh.
Yeah, it kind of puts you in a different mindset of trying to think of where to leave space for other people and that kind of thing. Because, if you're just writing a single song, singer-songwriter, that's all. Everything
you
can think of.
Yeah.
But coming in this kind of scenario, it is much different, trying to leave that space for other people.
Definitely.
If you could add one more instrument to this band, what would it be? If you were to add a 7th.
Trumpet player, for sure.
Trumpet's interesting.
Trumpet's good.
Triangle.
Yes, you do.
What about, what's the name of the thing?
Mandolin?
Yeah. Accordion.
All right, we need a serious answer.
Serious answer?
That's a hard. I actually have no idea.
Well, we've been
maybe another guitar. Yeah, probably.
I mean, that seems
like
the most practical.
Harmonica.
Harmonica.
We need some harmonica, some trumpet, maybe
a
backup vocalist
harmonica.
In here. I think you guys sound awesome already. 6 people, you're pushing the limits, and
I
love it.
I don't think we need any more, actually.
Yeah.
More content as we were.
I think.
No, trombone. I'm locking that in.
Locking it in. Glad. But, well, I think we'd have to organize a lot more cables if we had anybody else.
Yeah.
So it's
a good
thing there's only 6.
Kind of
but that is super cool. You guys, why don't you describe your sound a little bit? What do you, if you could describe it in 3 words, what would you
psychedelic
say?
Soul.
Funk.
Psychedelic soul funk?
Funk, awesome psychedelic
sauce.
Soul.
Awesome sauce.
Okay.
Rock and roll for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we have a bit of a soul vibe to us. I don't know. What are some other words that people are thinking about right now?
I think soul.
Yeah, it definitely feels like.
You have described a lot of our music as schlompy.
Schlompy.
Yeah.
Y'all got schlompy music.
Words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever the best descriptors are.
Mostly
onomatopoeia.
Yeah.
Right. That's okay. Well, I don't know. Should we hear another song?
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah, okay. This next song is it's called To the Bone, and it is another original.
Thank you.
How beautiful, you guys. You sound incredible. Jordy, you have the voice of an angel. And you guys, you all sound okay. No, I'm kidding. You guys sound awesome. Beautiful sax solo going on over there. You know, I think we heard all of the elements coming out on that song there. What was that called again?
To the Bone.
I like that. It made me feel, I don't know. What were the lyrics in the chorus? Can you recite them? Did you write it?
The words I couldn't form.
My bad. That's hilarious. I held your body close to mine. How could you be this warm? I still find threads of red on every jacket that I own. They'll someday fade away, but I'll still love you to the bone.
That is so cute! The heck? It's like I want that life, you know? It's like that was a very cozy song, and it was very warm. And you did a lovely job. I think all the elements matched it perfectly. Which doesn't happen often, I think, in music, you know, but you guys did a great job. Tell us about your inspirations a little. That sounds terrible. That sounds so bad. I'm sorry. It's not your fault. It's weird, the cable. I'm sorry, everybody listening. Tell us a little bit about your inspirations. What if we all went in a circle? First, actually, let's like talk about like favorite artists, and then we can go around and then discuss the inspirations that you have. Well, inspirations you have as a person, then what you bring into the band. But go around first with like your own kind of a thing.
Okay,
yeah.
So we should talk about individual inspirations.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's problematic.
Musically, some of my inspirations are Janis Joplin, Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin, Jeff Buckley. Lyrically, I always strive for Pink Floyd lyricism. I don't know if I'll ever
so that. Random, basically. a little meaningless.
But yeah, on a personal level, my biggest inspiration is my mom. Yeah, I would say those are the main ones.
Those are great ones, classics. I love to hear it.
Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Last year, I started listening to a little bit more Ethio jazz, and I feel like musically, I kind of strive for that a little bit. Just like genre-wise, I really enjoy like rock, soul, blues, funk, and also like folk, which I feel like we don't really dip into a ton, but yeah.
So this inspiration's not like for the band, but just overall kind of? I'm going to assume yes. Well, first inspirations, my wonderful family, who may be listening right now. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday!
Dave Bean, shout out.
Really just amazing. Like, I wouldn't be doing music if it wasn't for them encouraging me. I don't know. Like, I really struggle with this question because, you know, I feel like a lot of us just love so much different music. Lately, a lot of, like, folk music. It's been getting winter time, so I've been listening to more Elliott Smith and the Microphones. Some Ichiko Aoba.
Yes.
Windswept yes. Aiden is such
Please
a
say
album.
That one more time.
Ichiko Aoba.
Gotcha.
I'm probably butchering that name, and I'm really sorry if that's the
like
truth.
Aoba?
Oh, well, that's yeah. There you go.
I really
oh,
did.
Wow, okay. But, you know, apart from that, just, like, a lot of rock and, like, indie rock and stuff like that. Classic rock. Listening to a lot of electronic music, too, lately. Going back into Aphex Twin. I'm going to stop yapping and give it to Trevor.
Yeah, I guess a lot of my musical inspiration... Wow, Josh. Wow. My musical inspiration, I guess, in drums, comes a lot from Philip Selway of Radiohead, who's one of my favorite drummers. I just feel like, I don't know, I really like his vibe. Morgan Simpson from Black Midi is a drummer that I always aspire to be like. He's really incredible. And then there's a lot of older jazz drummers that I really enjoy, like Art Blakey, of course, Buddy Rich, kind of just the old masters of drum technique that I really, I don't know. It's really fun to break apart their parts and try to incorporate stuff into my playing. I guess, personally, a lot of my inspiration, yeah, like the others have said, comes from my family, my parents and my sister. And, yeah, I guess just... I don't know. That's where a lot of my inspiration comes from, I guess. It's just from family and thinking about that. But I'll hand it over to Jacob now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, my favorite band, which everyone in Earthshine is laughing right now because they know the answer, is the Beatles. And I think if I could be a quarter of the bass player that Paul McCartney is, that'd be swell. But that ain't gonna happen. But I don't know. Some of my favorite bass players would have to be like really basic answers, like Roger Waters, Tina Weymouth, Carole Kaye. I mean, just the greats of the greats, James Jamerson. But personal inspirations in terms of music, well, my band members.
I was gonna add that actually.
Wow.
Too late. I got to it first.
Oh man.
And yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
All right. I feel like everybody in the band knows this. My favorite band is Steely Dan.
Yeah.
I love their sound. It's something just so smooth and jazzy, but still gritty at the same time. And, you know, when they need to dig in, it's just, checks every box for me. So Larry Carlton is a huge guitar inspiration. Steve Howe from Yes is a huge inspiration for me.
What if I told you I knew a kid? My friend toured with Yes on their most recent tour. Yes.
Did he actually?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Jake, he was with John Anderson. So, funny story. I live in South Jersey.
I live in mid-Jersey. Central,
really?
If you will.
Central? Whoa. I'm from Medford.
That's nice. My
anyway,
cousin's
we go down to Ocean City, and Jake does the School of Rock with John Anderson.
Yes, that's how I know John Anderson.
So, I saw them like 10 years ago. And I was looking back at the pictures, and Jake is the little young kid that he is.
Yep.
Shout out to Jake. He's amazing. He's playing bass now for Acid Wash.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's playing bass. Yeah, we played a show with them. He was a bass player. Anyway, I met him a couple times. Shout out to him. He's really cool. But anyway, back to my inspirations.
Small world.
I know, right? Especially UVM. But yeah, Larry Carlton, Steve Howe. I mean, Hendrix is going to be on every guitar player's list, so those kind of things. Personal inspirations, probably my dad. He got me into guitar, although he wanted me to be a keyboard player because he already plays guitar, and he's like, we don't need another one. but yeah, and also just, you know, everybody you play with. I feel like it pushes you to make yourself better or want to make yourself better, and that's all we're all trying to do, right?
I would love to add, because I didn't before, and then everyone started talking about their family. Shout out to my whole extended family who's listening right now. Thanks, Aunt Stacy, for coming to see us at Publishing House.
Thank you,
Stacy. Thanks, Dad, for coming to see us at Orlando's.
Yep.
Love you. Thanks, Mom, for making me audition for jazz band in high school. Okay.
That is lovely. You guys had very nice things to say about everybody you love. Thanksgiving's coming up. Make sure you can repeat that at the dinner table. But what about, now that we've gone through personal things, who do you take from as a band? What sound are you trying to create? You know, what are you trying to push out here?
I don't really think we have any sort of sound we're trying to create or go for. I think a lot of the things that we write kind of just come from the heart. And I mean, I think we all have a lot of collective inspirations kind of rooted in like funk and soul and, you know, blues. But I mean, personally, I think we have a very like personal and intimate approach. Yeah.
I definitely say there's like, as the originals have grown over time, like I'm noticing that there's like a very wide sonic palette. Like, you know, like we have a blues song, we have like a very much like a love song. There's kind of a, I don't know if you'd agree, I feel like For Free kind of sound has a little bit of a Dan, a little bit of the Dan
bit.
In it.
A
yeah,
bit.
You know?
Got a little Dan in it.
We'll play that next. You know, and yeah, I'm just noticing a lot of different sounds because we all have different inspirations and I think it comes out in our playing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely a lot of different backgrounds. I mean, we got Radiohead drummer over here and then we've got Aretha Franklin on the microphone. It's like a lot of different stuff, but you guys make it work and it's awesome. How did you guys get into your instrument? How old were you when you started playing? Who taught you? How did you start learning? Yada, yada, yada.
I started singing when I was like 6 or 7, I think. I've had some vocal instructors, but none of them have really made any sort of impact until I got the teacher that I have now, Rachel Wigand, who is amazing. But yeah, I don't know. It's just always been like a huge part of my life, and my biggest love. And I just feel so lucky to be able to like pursue it in the ways that I am now with you guys. So.
I started off playing clarinet, actually, in fifth grade, and I was really excited to join the jazz band, but apparently they don't really love clarinets in jazz band at Galvin Middle School, so I switched to saxophone, and I have been playing ever since, yeah.
My sisters used to play Disney theme songs on the piano, and I would look down from the top of the staircase, and I would be like, just enamored with the sounds. And so at one point I went down there and I started playing and it was god awful. But I kept playing and it was really fun. And I got a teacher and I was playing a lot through high school. And then I had a terrible performance that left me like traumatized. And then I didn't play music for a while. But I came back to college here, started playing a little more, and then joined this band. And the rest was history.
Yeah, I only started playing drums late in high school, probably my senior year. I was mostly a guitar player. I started playing when I was like 7 or 8, and I played with a lot of really amazing drummers, people who have played all over the country, and it was just really fascinating, and I always had a deep respect for them, and I wanted to pick up the drums, and I wound up teaching myself, and then eventually I had a teacher here at UVM who I really love, and... yeah, it's just been, I don't know, but I'm pretty new to the whole drum thing, I guess.
I got a guitar. My dad bought me a cheap used guitar when I was like in fifth grade, and signed me up for guitar lessons, and it was cool, but it didn't really stick, and I stopped playing for a while, and then I'd say after my freshman year of college, I went home and I was like, I really want to learn guitar again, like try to teach myself. So I was playing with my dad's guitar and I saw he also had a Stingray by Music Man bass. And I was like, that'd be cool. And I found it way more fun. And I was like, man, when I go home, I will go back to UVM. I kind of don't want to stop playing bass. So I was working at Target at the time and I saved up money and got a crappy little Stingray and I brought it back. And I was like, the best way to learn is to join a band and play with people. So I was kind of learning at that point. And then, joined the band and been still learning.
I remember in, I want to say fifth grade-ish, my cousins would come over every year for Thanksgiving, and they did play piano at the time. I remember them playing Fur Elise all the time, and I thought that was the coolest thing, that they could make their fingers move at like such a young age, and I was like, I want to do that. So I remember one year right before Thanksgiving, maybe sixth grade-ish, I like spent a week, and I got Fur Elise down. Mediocre. It wasn't great. But anyway, so that kind of started my musical journey of like, because I got really addicted to just, you know, watching YouTube videos and, like, replicating what the notes they're pressing are. And I really got into that. And I remember about a year later, I was over a friend's house, and he had a cheap little guitar. And one of his friends who was over started playing, I want to say it was, like, the Pink Panther or something. Everybody thought that was the coolest thing. And I was like, oh, my God. This is my calling. I have to play guitar now. Because my dad had always played guitar, and he's got 5 or 6 guitars in his office. And I was like, Dad, teach me guitar. And, you know, it kind of took off from there. I haven't stopped playing since, I want to say that was 9 or 10 years old or something like that. Whatever sixth grade is.
Yeah.
Maybe 11. Something like that.
A little, yeah.
But, yeah, no, just I've been around that kind of stuff my whole life, and... It always was just a hobby for me, and that's what I wanted to keep it. I never really wanted to join, you know, school bands, because I never wanted music to become a chore.
Yeah,
totally. And so, you know, this band is a great, great balance of, you know, trying to keep something like a hobby, but also, you know, just striving for greatness in a sense.
Awesome. Sounds like a lot of goodness started in fifth grade. Magic grade for everybody.
Yeah.
The fifth one. But that's cool. I always, my parents, I know I'm not the one being interviewed, but I'm just jealous of everybody who grew up with, like, you know, relatives and parents and everything that, you know, played instruments and kind of led the way. You know, you guys, you already, you didn't have to, like, you're already cool, you know, because your parents are cool. So, I mean, my parents are cool. Whatever, let's hear another song, you guys.
All right.
Yeah. This next song is called For Free.
Crawling on the streets, oh, don't get it away.
some good stuff. Well, that one was called
For Free.
For Free.
What's For Free?
We didn't do it for free.
You didn't do it for
free.
True, except for this radio show. Thanks, guys. Cool. I liked that. I want to remind listeners that if you have anything to say to the band, you can chat in at WRUV.org or call in. You can call us at 802-656-4399. So call in. Say something to the band. I can relay a message. Say what you got to say. But got another question for you. Do you have... Is this all of everybody's first band, or do you guys have previous band experience? You know, how long have you been playing in a band?
Well, this is my first band. I kind of just sang, like, little voice recital situations with, like, you know, voice teachers I had when I was, like, 7 to 13. I would, like, perform at, like, little tiny venues and, like, little bars at... like these tiny little events, and then when I was 13, I got like super bad stage anxiety, and so I pretty much like stopped letting anyone hear me from the time I was 13 to 19 when I started playing with you guys. So yeah, this band is like definitely extra special to me because it's the first time that I like broke out of something that I never thought I was going to, which was like being heard by people other than my parents. so
yeah, we're on the radio.
Yeah, now we're on the radio. We've made it.
Yes, you have.
I'm really proud of Jordy for breaking out of that. I was there during that Radio Bean show, and it was really, really beautiful to watch her come out of her shell.
Thanks.
But I was a major band kid in high school. This is my first, like, band, I guess. Like, my first... freeform band,
yeah.
But
rock band, if
yeah,
you know.
I did concert band from like fifth grade through senior year. I did wind ensemble in high school. We were really good, but and I was in my high school jazz band and marching band. I played a couple different kinds of sax, a couple different kinds of clarinet. It was just really fun, and I miss it a lot. I miss playing jazz, and I am really excited to see our band like take on some more jazz influence. Yeah,
that's on the agenda.
Ditto. I played trombone in middle school and high school. Shout out Mr. Q, great teacher. I miss trombone. Yeah, no, but this is my first band, first you know, band. What you think of when you say band? Here, Trevor.
So in high school, I did School of Rock, which that doesn't really count, but I did that for a long time. That was a lot of fun. It was pretty goated. And then from there, I was in a couple different bands with some of my friends, Horse and Gay Pope. And then, but this is my first like real band where we're really playing shows and kind of, well, I played a couple, but anyways, this is my, like, I don't know how to describe it. This is my first, band playing drums. So there's something to that, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I also did School of Rock when I did guitar. That didn't last very long, and this is my first and only band where I've played bass.
Yeah, no, this is my first band too. Other than jamming with like one friend or two friends at a time, really, this is the first bigger group kind of thing, where we have an agenda that we're trying to meet, and we're trying to get stuff out, and we're trying to do all the band stuff, you know?
It's funny you guys keep mentioning School of Rock. My friend's actually working there right now. It's kind of interesting.
In Vermont? Is there a School of Rock in Vermont?
It is. It's like a real school. And
yeah.
Rock.
I was in it, too. I was in it. I sang. I started off as a guitar player, and then I quit and became a singer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nice. School of Rock brings people together. No, I'm not. No. I'm not in acapella. I was in acapella in high school. That's for sure. Yeah. But yeah, School of Rock. I mean, I think more and more people these days are like, it's cool. I feel like we're meeting a lot of kids in our generation that are doing it. And it was a cool thing for sure. We've got a lot of messages in the chat.
Oh my God.
Jacob's cousin says hi. He's listening from New Haven, Connecticut.
Lester?
No, that's George. I'm sure that's George and Andrew.
And he says George. It sounds great.
Thank you.
And Eve's Aunt Stacy says hi and that you guys sound awesome.
Thank you, Sam.
And that she saw you guys play in a basement.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to that.
Thanks,
it was
Andy.
Hot.
I
it
love
was very
you.
Hot down there.
That's crazy that you had relatives go to a basement show. It's a crazy statement.
Dedicated. Yeah.
It's wild. They got VIP access. I like it. I like it. So your name is, she said, oh, Sal says hi, and that you sound.
Hello, Sal. Sal used to play guitar with us.
Shout out Cows in the Moon.
Yeah, Sal, you just got a lot of love there. Hopefully you feel important right now. I've got another question. So you guys are called Earthshine. How did you get this name?
Yes.
It was me.
Care to elaborate?
Yeah. So Earthshine is the shadow that the Earth casts on the moon. And I know that because I was trying to find a band name that was related to space. So I looked up really cool space terms. And Earthshine came up. I was like, I love that because I wanted it to be moon related because I love the moon.
Shout out the moon, you guys.
Shout out the moon. Yeah, that's how I got the name. I wish I could tell you something a little bit more engaging or riveting, but that's it.
That's okay. I think that is a beautiful...
I did define the term. At least I know what it is.
Yeah. That's awesome. I didn't know Earthshine was like a thing, and that's an awesome thing. Yeah, that's cool. That is very Pink Floyd-esque. You know, it's like Eclipse, but it's not. It's Earthshine. Yeah. So I like it. I like it. And I see your Floyd paraphernalia on your water bottle too.
I'm
enjoying that.
See my room.
So room tour at Jordy's? No, I'm kidding. awesome. I love that. I dig that Earthshine. How long have you guys been together?
Since last year.
The end of freshman year.
It's been like a year and a couple of months, I'd say.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah, I'd say once this whole group formed, it was like October around, like last year.
Yeah.
October of last year. Yeah.
Maybe so about a year.
Yeah, about a year.
Nice.
We didn't perform, though, until the end of, like, last
year. Yeah, we didn't have our first show until April 19th.
Well, we kept having lineup changes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Well, I will say, like... Do you guys enjoy practices more than the shows? I mean, you must, right? It's fun to hang out with each other.
I love both equally. I think they're both so different, they can't really be compared. But, man, I love our shows. I love playing with you guys.
Yeah.
They go crazy.
I feel like we really bond the most during
our shows.
Yeah.
Like, we really connect the most with each other after and during our shows.
There's, like, a renewed sense of, like, unity and drive after each show.
Man. Every practice too, though, like, is definitely very fun. I enjoy the shows a lot, but obviously, like,
there's a lot of goofing off during practice.
I'd say that.
Well, no, yeah, like practice is
a lot
awesome.
Of noodling.
I feel like with both practices and performances, I feel like what I always love is like there's like moments when we're playing, whether it's practice or performance, when I just feel like everything links up, and there's that like moment, and you're like, oh, that sounds really good. And I think it happens in moments during the practices, and it happens in moments during the shows. It just probably happens more often during practice because we're practicing more than we're performing. But that's what I really care about, is those moments.
I think it's just great because like we're all really good friends, and so like even when it's work, it's not completely work because we're with people that we really enjoy being around. And so we try to always hang out like almost every weekend, try to get some stuff going on.
Tough lately.
Never
again. I'm not supporting his beauty.
But Jacob's always trying to drag us out, and sometimes it succeeds, sometimes not. But usually we end up at Utah's playing Mario Kart version of it.
Losing to me in Mario Kart. That's important. That's important. That's important. That's when there's different rules involved.
Speaking of Mario Kart. Sal asked, "What's your favorite Minecraft character?"
Like besides Steve?
Creature.
Oh.
Have you guys seen the Warden? Have you seen the new Warden?
I don't like
pigs.
The Warden.
Have you guys seen the new Warden? The Warden drop is pretty crazy.
So Eve says pigs.
Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
So I'll be writing a chicken. That's a big shout out.
Right.
I don't know. I was playing Minecraft with my friend recently, and we were like in a cave, and the warden came out, and we had to fight him, and that was a real. The warden is like a new. It's not really that new, but it's newish, and like it's a pretty scary villain. Okay.
That's okay. Well, riveting answers. Maggie says she loves it, so don't know.
Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah. Your cousin Maggie. Aww. That's nice.
Hi, Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Well, it is. Hopefully, your water bottle's not open because it just fell over. Oh. It's 7 p.m. approximately, and every hour on the hour, WREV has to give a public service announcement to all of our listeners. And so, we have right here a big fat binder of a lot of public service announcements, and somebody here is going to have to read it. And usually when bands come in, you know, there's a bit of like, they want like play a backing track behind, they do a little jam under it. So you guys feel free to get creative. Yeah, and then you can just look through this binder and read something cool. And I see some head shaking over here. I'm a little scared about what that's about. Who wants to read it?
I probably have a few of them.
Yeah, Trevor and I have written PSAs for this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, are you guys DJs at WREV?
Yeah, he's currently a DJ. Yeah. When's your time slot?
What's your DJ name?
My name is DJ Sweet Tea. It's Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Yeah. I was here this morning.
Nice. Love it. DJ Sweet Tea.
I was a DJ my freshman year and the first semester of my sophomore year.
Nice. What happened? You didn't like us anymore?
Oh, no. I always love you guys. I just got really busy with the band.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, what?
I'm sorry.
You're busy with the band? It's fine. I forgive you. WREV forgives you. And you're always welcome. So.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
It's okay. We're still looking for a PSA.
Wow.
Do you guys have to discuss, like, a backing track? You guys just telepathically know what you're going to do?
Are we doing I Feel Good, guys?
Yeah, I think we have to.
I Feel Good backing track?
Yeah, we're doing I Feel Good. All right.
We're not doing your
Can you sing the PSA?
I could.
You should sing it. Turn our levels down.
Wait, just turn down. Fish.
Okay, should I just start?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, how am I supposed to sing and do the PSA?
You can say ow, and then you'll just start reading.
Yeah, just start reading. We'll just do
okay. Ow! Feature fish. Is the baited fish that you brought 3 years ago still hanging on? Are you tempted to flush him down the toilet? Don't like your fish flounder. Go to your neighborhood pet store and snoop around until you find the freshest food for your hobby. Keep your hope up. Beta fish are low maintenance and high reward if you keep them healthy.
Very smooth. That was such a smooth transition from PSA to I Feel Good. That was incredible. Like, wow, we've never had such an artistic transfer before. Can we? Am I heard in the booth right now? Can you hear me? We're good. Good stuff going on. Well, that was awesome. Feed your fish, everybody. You heard it here first. Friend. Exactly. I got a question for you guys. If you could go on tour with any artist, dead or alive, what's your lineup going on?
Wait, how many? Yeah, we need.
You can have like as many as you want, I guess. But like, let's max it out at like maybe three.
Dead or alive.
Okay. At any point in their career.
Do you want to sit next to me?
I'm gonna assume. Okay.
Could we agree on Pink Floyd?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wait. Oh wait. Is it for us?
Except, I didn't know it was individual.
Do you guys? You can open or you can headline. You get to choose.
Yeah, we gotta play at the Sphere. Yeah. Can we play at the Sphere?
You can play at the Sphere. So Sphere is the dream venue, I'm assuming.
The maybe the Pyramids.
If we're playing at the Sphere, then it has to be with the Dead.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Our faces projected on the Sphere.
Red Rocks,
biggest possible.
I would love to play Red Rocks. That's a dream place.
Those two are often the big ones.
Honestly, the Suffolk was pretty cool.
Red Rocks. Who are our other two? We got Pink Floyd. We got the Dead. Who else?
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. All right.
That's a good one. That's like basically Woodstock '69.
Wait, what about Janis Joplin? Limp
Bizkit.
Who just said Limp Bizkit? Stop that.
I don't think I could ever sing with Janis Joplin. Actually,
yeah.
I think you and Janis Joplin singing together.
Actually, that would be kind of fun.
Personally, I'd love to play with Black Country New Road, but it would be a revival with Isaac coming back. That would be very different. I feel like that'd be a weird, you know, our band with them.
Dude, Daft Punk.
Dude. I mean, yeah. Daft Punk. If they came back just to play with us, yeah.
That'd
like,
be sick.
Yeah.
We should do a collab with Skrillex.
Yeah.
No. Maybe.
That's
a really good
idea.
No,
everybody
like
hates on that.
I like Skrillex. There, I said it.
Yeah, be sick.
There, I said it. Let it be known. We've got a new interviewer with us for the rest of the evening.
Hi. Hello, welcome. Everyone. Welcome.
Formerly DJ. Well, maybe not.
Hello?
Can you, or is he, is he's heard. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. My radio name is DJ Griffey, but I'm Thaddeus to all of you. Hello. Nice to meet you all. I was just gonna say, you guys need to do like a Daft Punk like remix album, like they remix your songs. I probably do,
yeah.
But I don't really listen to like the songs. I just kind of go through.
It's been such a long time since I heard that song, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well.
It's aged well.
Why don't you hit us with another song?
Thank you.
Awesome. You guys kill it every time. Kill it every time.
It was really, really great. I have a question involving music videos. And I know, you know, it's hard to think as a, you know, maybe smaller band, like, oh, what's the music video going to be for this? But I'm just more curious about, like, where imagery and, like, that kind of, you know, sense of music comes into play when you guys are making music.
This is kind of random, but I was literally just thinking as we finished that song that that song feels like the color, like, seafoam green. And I don't know if that's just because that's the color of the wall across from me, but, like, it really does feel, like, really, like, watery. I don't know.
I was definitely thinking about, like, for free, I definitely feel like there was an image in mind, especially when the lyrics came around. Like, I feel like the progression itself kind of felt very, like, rough during the verse section, so I kind of, like, pictured, like, a grotesque lizard person crawling around the streets or something.
No, I picture that, too.
You know, but then it's like, yeah, but then it's like, you know, when it goes to the chorus, it's, like, more heartfelt, and then it's, like, getting in the head of that lizard person or whatever. I don't know. So
it's the frog that goes to the sea, maybe.
Sure. Yeah, the frog that goes to the sea. But there's definitely, I feel like, an image a lot of the time when it comes to the songs.
Yeah. When we do just
when we do, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys have any music recorded?
We're actually in the process of recording Listen right now, but we're hoping to hopefully come out with an EP by the end of the year. By the end of next semester is what I meant to say.
Yeah. We're hopeful though.
Yeah, hopeful.
I think you guys can get it done.
Yeah, I hope so.
I think you've got it.
Thank you.
How did you guys meet?
I met Utah and Jackson in class. Jacob, how did we meet?
During my summer when I had just got, like, I just bought my bass, I was learning and I was having a lot of fun with it, and I saw on the Snapchat story for UVM 2026 that someone was asking for a bass player.
Was that me?
Yeah.
No way, I put someone on the Snapchat story.
I was like, oh, sweet, yo, I'm gonna do this. And so Jordy was like, oh, can you send me a video of you playing? I was like, oh, crap. I'm done for. But I sent a video of the one song I knew how to play at the
Which
time.
Which was what?
Ophelia by The Band.
Oh, that's such a good song.
We should play that.
Yeah.
I love The Band.
Trevor, we met similarly.
Yeah, we met on, like,
over the internet. I think I, like, posted an ad on Instagram or something. Yeah. And then Eve and I met freshman year through our friend Ernst. Shout out Ernst. And we have been best friends ever since. And then we all just, like, met one day and started jamming. We were like, this works.
It'll work out.
Yeah.
I have this is unfortunately a repeat question because I'm still trying to think of new questions to ask, but what do you guys think of gear and how that comes into play as a musician and that kind of relationship? Because I know it's a complicated one for musicians. Oh, okay.
We're trying to get sponsored by Fender. If you don't,
a religious Fender, fundamentalist, I see.
Yeah, I mean, then you shouldn't even be playing an instrument.
I disagree.
Dude, everything else is bottom of the barrel.
Wow. Okay.
Fender, please sponsor.
What's your real opinion? I don't have one.
I don't know. I feel like as a guitar player, I'm one of the few guitar players out of our friends in other bands that doesn't really have a pedal board. Like,
oh, yeah, you
this
don't.
Thing
yeah.
is like a digital simulator, and it's nice because it's light, and I don't have to worry about
it's
it.
It's all in one kind
battery
of
powered. Yeah, it's not as good as pedals, but you know, I want to break into that world.
What's it called, Jackson?
It's a Boss GT1.
Oh, that's
Boss GT1. Great. It does great. So I can program my own sounds on my computer if I need to. But I would like pedals.
Yeah.
Pedals are the ultimate goal. You know, just more gear. You can never get enough gear.
So is the Boss kind of like a 5-in-1 shampoo kind of deal?
It's like the Dr. Bronner's 18-in-1.
Oh,
yeah. It's like that.
It does the job.
I use that.
I use Dr. Bronner's too, yeah.
Yeah.
So is that your only product?
No. It's just my favorite type of soap.
I love gear. I was actually playing on my old piano that I was gifted by my grandparents who are listening right now. love you, Grandma. Love you, Grandpa. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you so much for that keyboard on Christmas. That changed my life. But I only got a new keyboard recently, and it's really changed a lot. So I definitely have had to recognize how important gear is to a certain degree, because you need to have a certain level of something to get done what you need to get done. And so far, this keyboard's done the job.
Where did your ghosts come from?
Oh,
exactly.
Whoa.
That's
all
right. I can't really weigh in on this.
Yeah, it's interesting with a saxophone, right? Because you wouldn't really have any more gear other than just a saxophone.
You get an electric saxophone.
Yeah.
That would be
actually
cool.
They don't make those. I think
they do. My dad has one.
They do. I've seen somebody use one too.
Seriously?
This band called Big Something goes crazy with the electric sax.
I've seen Jack Black use one before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love electric sax.
Wasn't that just like a toy, though?
Yeah, it is like a kid's toy, but it works.
Moral of the story is there is an electric saxophone. However, Eve does not have one.
Yes.
That is moral of the story.
Yes. I was thinking of something else. Saxophones are just expensive.
Check.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
What's happening? Talking to the microphone is what Ivy's trying to say.
Talking into the microphone. We're talking into the microphone.
Basically, these guys don't know how to be in a band. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. They failed exposure. The first band.
Auto-tune on the sax.
How do you tune a saxophone? What are you tuning?
The knobs, right?
You basically push in or pull out the mouthpiece, and I have this app, and it's kind of like Guitar Tuna.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're sharp, you pull out. If you're flat, you push in. And it's like, you can think of it as like a pencil sharpener. Like, if you're flat, you push in. I don't know.
That's
just how Mr. Morell taught me.
I like it. Yeah. Should we hear another song? Do you guys have any more?
Those are all the originals.
Those are our originals.
Yeah. That's okay.
We could pull out a cover.
Yeah, but we're going to dip out for this one.
But
okay.
What?
I'm not in crazy. You're not in that? Oh. Yeah. Just got to sit out, Eve.
Maybe I'll hang out with you guys.
Can make some room for you out here.
Are we ready?
Can I just check?
You guys have another song after this one?
Yeah.
We could, or we could also not.
We could.
Cool.
Let's.
Thank you.
So, you say you're working on some new music. What kind of concepts, what kind of themes are you touching upon in your newness coming on?
They're kind of bluesy, I would say. We're working on one right now called Blues Operator.
We're also, you know, we've been pretty busy with exams. Sorry, I'm going to actually hold the mic right this time. But we also are hoping to just do more jamming and just hopefully some cool ideas will come from that, pretty soon. So yeah. I think, yeah, we have that one song idea, but, you know, in general, we're just going to be focusing more on being creative.
Yeah, I think we have lots of, like, different just random ideas, and it's so hard to, like, find one to commit to, you know, because so many of them have potential, and it's just like, oh, I like that, but then we just find the next thing, and we're like, oh, but I like that too. But, yeah, I think that, like, this semester we've been really focused on, like, doing shows and, like, getting out there and getting our sound out there, and now, you know, it's calming down a little, and I think we're going to be able to kind of harness our creativity and, like, our chemistry together for songwriting and lock in there a little bit more, but, yeah.
When you guys are making songs, how does the, like, you're talking about jamming and stuff, and what's the kind of, like, does the, you know, chicken or the egg, do you just kind of jam and find something in it? Do you kind of start with an idea and just kind of work your way into that? You know what I mean? Like, how does that? Yeah, yeah.
It's unique. It's a little bit of both. Sometimes, someone like Utah will come with an idea and then we'll just add on top of that. Sometimes it's purely just from jamming. Sometimes, you know, we have lyrics first. It's a little different every time, but in that jam kind of sense, I feel like that's kind of where we find our stuff, because an idea is presented, it's a rudimentary idea, and then we build on top of that, and we see how cool we can make it.
Yeah.
I really do feel like a lot of pretty great songs, you know, have come from just really simple ideas, too. Sometimes, like, the simplest little melody in the start can really...
Hey, the catchiest songs are the most simple.
Super simple. I agree. Actually, I don't think I ever told you guys this, but for, like, the writing process for Listen, I had this melody that I, like, created and was stuck in my head, like, the whole summer, and I started, like, writing some lyrics for it, and I was like, ooh, like, I want to bring this melody to the band, like, see if they can, like, put chords to it, which is, you know, a little harder to do, but... I had this melody and I like recorded it and everything, and then when we started out the year and you were like, hey, we have this like progression that we worked on together, it literally lined up perfectly with the melody. So I actually, that melody was something I had like written before, and it happened to just synchronize with, like, you know, these beautiful chords that they had come up with this summer. So it all just fell into place really perfectly for that one.
It's so fun when those moments happen.
I know.
Yeah. I love like Frank.
It's really satisfying just like when you see one of those moments happening, everybody kind of looks around and first like, oh, this might be something.
Okay, here we go.
This might be something, yeah.
It's okay.
I remember those
moments. We don't condone
that. For each original, we were like, okay,
Yeah. We're going to be playing this one.
I remember that. Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's where the magic is, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're all trying to go after.
We're chasing.
I think it's so interesting, like, a lot of the time, as just, like, a, you know, listener of music, it's a different relationship, but, like, as a, you know, maker, that's where the, like, real, like, primal part of it is that, like, that sense of, like, oh, we just found something out of nothing, you know?
Yeah. It's real satisfying.
It's
like,
amazing.
You got this little baby that you can show to the world.
That's, like, the feeling that, like, that's why I want to keep doing music for the rest of my life. It's because of that feeling right there. So I feel like it has to be good enough that that's going to be what you're chasing for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah, at the end of the day,
it's better than having a baby.
Well,
the song is the baby.
Well, and also it's so special, like, doing it in a band setting, especially because, like, we're all putting our hearts together in, like, one
thing,
big heart puzzle, and, like,
we're all making a baby
together.
One big baby.
Call it Grug. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. It's like one big group hug.
One big group,
Shout out to UVM for this, but in my one of my classes, we read, like, a paper, and some guy was like, love between two people is like jamming, and I was like, that's pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, chemistry is chemistry.
Yeah. True.
See where people shine.
I didn't take chemistry.
Chemistry's too hard for me, too.
The earth shine. Do you guys have any, like, super memorable show experiences, for good or bad? Anything you want to share?
Our first show, Radio Bean, was, like,
the most magical.
That one was really cool.
Your first show was Radio Bean?
Yeah.
That's sick.
It was the perfect first show venue.
We've been practicing for, like, an entire, like, 1.5 semesters at least.
Yeah.
And then,
like, twice a week.
We were so tight when we, like, came in and played together. Like, it was, like, it was just
every
song.
We put so much effort into that first show.
Yeah.
We did.
And it was so fun, too, because since it was our first show, a lot of our friends were the audience, and it was just, like,
was
a super welcoming environment.
Now,
the audience was actually half Jackson's friends.
That's true. I did
made that very
people,
clear.
Too. I did have a lot of people come.
They did make that very clear.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was also so fun. Jacob didn't know his
Uncle
parents were coming from
Colorado.
Oh
my gosh.
Yeah,
dude.
That's
they
so sweet.
And I remember seeing the look on Jacob's face when they walked in. He was like,
was like,
white as a ghost.
Guys, put the drugs on.
Did it make you more nervous?
What?
Yeah, I can imagine.
We were all terrified anyway. Like,
yeah.
That was our first performance. And for most of us, it was our first band experience.
Yeah, that was
like
my first, like, stage presence. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the longest. Like, I think it was a 45-minute set for our first show. Like, that's pretty.
I loved our Orlando's gig.
That was my least favorite gig.
I love that.
The sound was not very good.
I really liked Arts
Riot.
I thought Arts Riot
was
great.
Arts Riot was really fun.
That was a great venue.
Yeah, Arts Riot sound is so
good. It's really, really nice.
Shout out Arts Riot.
Personally, I enjoyed playing at the Publishing House.
That was a really
fun
show. Yeah, that was a
fun show. Yeah, it was fun. I feel like the basement concerts are really just like such a good vibe because everyone's happy to be there. Like, everyone's intoxicated.
And if you're sweating because you're nervous, they won't even know because everyone's sweating because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So
it's 1
it
billion
degrees.
Yeah,
there you go.
We had to bring fans.
Power move.
Yeah.
But yeah. Our Water Tower show.
Our show at Radio Bean, our second show at Radio Bean, which we did last Wednesday, right? That was a week ago today.
That was super fun.
We did for the Water Tower fundraiser, Wet Aid, and that was a lot of fun. There was a lot of different bands playing. It was just really cool to meet a bunch of people and hang out.
Every gig we've ever played.
That's actually every gig we've ever played.
Yeah. No, but that was so cool to see other musicians.
They're all special.
Yeah. No, but that show was really fun.
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I feel like part of the thing that makes being playing live so much fun, and not just like playing with like you guys on stage, but also the other bands, like everyone in the like UVM and Burlington music scene, that I feel like we've met so nice and such talented people. There are like so many names I could mention that I'm not going to, but just everyone. Everyone's so awesome. Shout out people who play music in Burlington.
That's awesome. I was going to ask, how do you think Burlington has shaped you guys as a band? Does it? How do you feel about the Burlington music scene? You know, what's going on? What's your take on that?
I feel like it's really fostered us. Like, it's just such a welcoming environment. Everybody I know, at least in the music school, that's everybody's like, everybody loves. If you're in a band, if you're not in a band, everybody's just super supportive. And you know, you can't really ask for much more.
I think it's very supportive for, like, bands and kind of, like, a lot of rock music and stuff. I need to see more electronic music shows because I know there's a lot of them out there, but I haven't seen them all. There are.
I
can
tell you.
Yeah. More like a
there's Tanya.
Yeah. Do they do those here?
No.
No?
Not here.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think Burlington is like a super, super good spot to like start kind of coming out as a band. And, you know, because like there's so many like humble little opportunities everywhere and people are always reaching out and it's awesome. And honestly, like I've learned more like starting to like really be a musician in Burlington here than I have learned as a music major at UVM.
It's also just so nice because it's such a tight-knit community.
Yeah,
like, Burlington is not the biggest place out of all of the other music scenes. This is a pretty tight-knit, and it, I don't know if it makes you feel seen, but it makes you feel welcome.
Yeah.
And also the fact that, like, the whole party scene is kind of dominated by the Basement concerts.
Yeah.
I think that definitely helps, because that's ultimately what gets people seeing us and enjoying our music.
People in Burlington like live music. I think that only fosters this kind of scenario.
We're performing for a lot of students too, which are peers and stuff, and I think that they have a lot of, you know, love and respect for
that
too.
We're starting out like with a running start of love and support.
Yeah, first Burlington, then the Sphere, right?
Yeah. Sphere is next.
We are playing Sphere in 3 weeks, so
we might get food.
That is a lot.
What would you guys put on the Sphere if you played the Sphere? What would be?
Uncle Lester.
Yeah, Big Brother,
what would we? Like, genuinely.
Like, what would we put on the
eclipse? The eclipse. Mm-hmm. In the Sphere.
Would we not put the Earth?
Shine?
Yeah.
Or no, we'd put like the shadow of the Earth.
Shadow of
the
Earth.
On
the
moon.
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's actually not the eclipse. They're two different things.
Yeah.
Lunar eclipse.
Okay. Sure.
Well, I think we've got time for one more song, and then we can wrap it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, sounds great.
Good.
One last one.
I love it.
Keep it strong, yeah.
First time we're ever closing with oil, and probably the last.
Thank you.
It was incredible chatting with you guys and getting to hear you guys play for all of our lovely listeners out in WREV.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course.
It's been a pleasure.
Where can our listeners like find out your music and anything? Yeah. Do you have anything out? Do you have any shows coming up? Plug yourself.
Earthshine the Band on Instagram. We don't have a Spotify yet, but we will soon, hopefully. And our next show is December 6th.
Third.
No.
We're not doing that.
Yeah,
okay.
December 6th, Radio Bean. Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Love it.
It's a Friday.
Yeah, 7:30.
On a Friday.
Classes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well,
Thank you again for having us. Yes.
Yes. It was such a pleasure with listening to you guys and getting to chat with you. We wish you the best of luck. Excited to hear where Earthshine goes. Excited to see you guys at the Sphere in a couple of years.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. But this has been Exposure on 90.1 WREV FM Burlington. Tune in not next week because it's Thanksgiving, but the week after we've got the last Exposure of the semester. Dick Richard is coming in. So you guys will get to hear them. And everybody enjoy your Thanksgiving break. Thank you for tuning into Exposure, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Take it away. Bye.
Squawk.
Shadows linger to the dawn. Half remembered dreams. Feel the light, a heart of stone. Maybe I didn't do all the things that you loved, and maybe there were things we could have said. Maybe I never knew all the things you could have done. Maybe I never knew. Oh, maybe I never asked. What do you wait for? What do you grieve for? What do you and what do you hate for? What do you reach for? And what do you what do you hate for? What do you breathe for? What do you dream for? And what do you hate for? What do you reach for? What do you dream for? What do you hate for? What do you
The table set in my finest suit, like a perfect gentleman. I'll be the fire escape that's bolted to the ancient brick, where you will sit and contemplate your day. On the brink, I'll be the phonograph that plays your favorite albums back as you're lying there, drifting on.
ladies.